Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am the smart. I am the smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you. As always, I'm very excited about having Dr. Bruce Piasecki back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce and I have become fast friends over the last year or so, and I'm really enjoying learning more about the work that he's doing. It's very important work for the 21st century, and a little bit of some of it's gets over in the weeds sometimes. But you and I have got to focus on the things that Bruce is talking about, because it's what he talks about is how to be frugal, how to get more efficiency out of our organizations and still be competitive. This is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. You and I have to pay attention to this. Bruce is the author of many books, including the new one I have in my hand, The Surprising Solution. And he's the president and founder of AHC Group. And he's our friend, Bruce Piasecki. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim, great to be here, and thank you for that intro.
Well, you're welcome. It's good to have you back, and I didn't have time to do the one that your mother sent me, but seriously, folks, Bruce is one smart guy, and he's got a lot to teach us. Bruce, small business owners are, I think they're listening right now. I think they're ready for your message right now, because we've just come through what we've just come through. We know all about frugality. Let me put it this way. Any small business owner that's still in business after the last 2 years has learned about frugality in the crucible. And so now, though, they're looking around and they're saying, okay, I've cut everything down to where I know what I have to operate. But how do I increase my competitiveness? How do I gain a competitive advantage and go forward, expending new assets? How do I do that? How do I grow frugally?
And I guess what I'd like to say is I want your listeners to picture the cover of this next book, this eighth book I'm working on, and then I'll explain as best I can how to increase your profit margin. But if you picture a beautiful woman on the cover of a book who doesn't really have that much on except for a $24,000 David Yurman piece of jewelry, and the title going across the bottom of her neck is Doing More with Less, and the subtitle is The Fabulous Complexities of Money. And I think what you just said about the last 2 years, I don't want people to, in my approach, I still think we have to go after what's fabulous about profit margins. So everything I'm going to say to your listeners is not about taking away the beauty of profit or the fabulous dimensions of beauty engaged in the art of making a company. But I do want to talk about the Ben Franklin-like certainty that if you learn how to do more with less, it's actually a distinct competitive advantage. And I learned this in my own company, which I started in 1981. When I look back on the 80s, I could have had so much more profit if I learned how to be frugal. But I was seduced by the beauty of being able to spend, you know, spend mm-hmm. on staff, spend on advertisements, spend on expense.
It's part of the ego, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what my new book is about, is that part of the surprising solution, how to get back to innovation, how to be inventive and frugal like Ben Franklin again, is looking at it in a fresh way of saying, okay, true, I have the privilege of being able to spend 20 times as much as my grandfather did when he ran his farm. But what would my profit margin look like, and what would I serve society if I actually did it with only 10 times as much as the past? So there's a huge margin of precision. There's a huge margin of invention that's available, just like making a car go 55 miles per gallon or a refrigerator last three times its normal length of time. I believe we have the engineering and the capital skills to go after that frugality.
Well, part of what you're talking about is attitude. and our own personal perspective on things. And I think you're right. Prior to 2008, it might have been a little more difficult to get everyone's attention. I think the attention thing is now been complete. What do you think?
Absolutely. I think that for maybe a decade before the last 2 years, we were distracted by easy credit. And that's why you could get the stress of easy credit, where if now things have been severely recalibrated, where, as everybody listening knows, it's hard for a small business person to get excess credit.
Yeah, it is.
So that is taken away.
Now we're experiencing imposed frugality. Hold on to that thought, Bruce. Bruce Piasecki, folks. Dr. Bruce Piasecki and I will be right back. His book is called The Surprising Solution. I recommend it to you. Stay with us. And we are airplanes today.
I get up and nothing gets me down. You got it tough.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. I hope you use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blassingame. By the way, when you're at my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Comes every Sunday afternoon by email. Get you ready for the week ahead. Dr. Bruce Piasecki is with us. Bruce is the author of many books, a couple of dozen maybe, sold something under a billion copies galactically. The new book is called The Surprising Solution, Cutting Possibility in a Swift and Severe World, creating possibility, I should say, in a swift and severe world. And he's talking about, in the book, folks, he's talking about the velocity of the world these days, and therefore the velocity of change, and how you and I have to be even more nimble than we ever have been before. And the only way to be nimble is to not have a bunch of baggage. And so, folks, if you think about it, that's the essence of who you and I are, small business owners. We do those things really well, much better than the big companies do. And so we're coming into a time, Bruce, in my opinion, when small business owners, and this is why I'm calling the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, small business owners should be able to virtually own the marketplace because of our ability to be nimble and the fact that the customers are moving in the direction of wanting that. What do you think?
Think of this, Jim, and I totally agree with you. You mentioned the key points in the first segment about keeping the attitude of being enterprising, because that's the source of this creative frugality. Mm-hmm. I read just the other day about the largest company in Israel makes generic drugs and distributes them globally. As the world moved from 49% generic to 75% just in the last 5 years, because they're so freaking efficient, frugal, enterprising, they captured 80% of that move, and now they're the largest company in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger than some of the Merck advisors, without the corporate jets, without the waste, just Ben Franklin all over again. So,
but you got
when
you,
I talk
but
about
have,
the auto competitive frugality, that's what I'm talking about.
Yes, and you. So you're not talking about being penny wise and pound foolish.
That's the start. You know, it's easier to run a shop without too many wasteful sources of energy than it is to have, you know, 12 different stoves in your kitchen when you really only need the one or two functional ones.
What about mistakes? Let's talk for a moment, though, with frugality.
Yeah.
Let's talk about mistakes. And here's why. You and I both know that the only people who don't make mistakes are the people who don't try.
Mm-hmm.
The people who don't attempt things, if you're willing to risk what you know for what you might learn, you're going to make mistakes.
And that's going to be a cost, and that's going to be some waste, but you never want to give that up. So are you helping me think through the idea that, in fact, in this pursuit of frugality, you can't become cheap?
Right.
You still have to take the risks. But frugality is doing more with less. It's about the pride and the attitude and the ability to find that edge where you are going to make mistakes. And in fact, if I think back on the last 30 years of my firm, One of the biggest mistakes I had as a management consultant was I didn't think after working for 3 years at Toyota that you should focus some staff on just replicating that experience at Chrysler or suppliers to autos. You know, it was a big mistake about replication. So in retrospect, I now think about that, and I think about how the world was so swift and severe. No one really told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the mistakes that I think small business often makes is that they think that they can't afford the full spectrum of stakeholders. They know they have to pay attention to their customer, to their employees, to their investors. But in my new book, I also talk about how, like, since this is the century of small business innovation, they have to pay attention to the fact that legislators want to give them support, tax breaks for renewable energy.
Mm.
They want to give them support for educating their staff, that journalists want to magnify their reputation and put wind in their sail for nothing if they learned how to interact with journalists, exceptional ones like yourself. And then finally, I also believe that the NGO community is beginning to look for
small business innovation. Give us an example of what an NGO is.
A non-governmental organization,
right,
that wants somebody to make a better car or a better home.
Like
Habitat for Humanity.
What would be an example?
Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
When Home Depot and Habitat for Humanity teamed, it was a corporate giant plus an NGO that got together after Hurricane Katrina and found new ways to build efficient homes.
You're talking about strategic alliances.
Correct. And
yes,
what I'm trying to say in my new book, that part of the art of competitive frugality is if a legislator can do your work for you, let them. If a
right.
journalist could do your work, let them.
That,
if this non-governmental agency is a strategic partner, let them. So that I have found that often a small business doesn't feel as if it has the resources and has fear of making mistakes. And so they pay only attention to the inner core of customer,
right,
employee, and investor. And yet
this is all part of value, Bruce, too. This is what I talk about. What you're saying is, folks, what Bruce is saying to you is what I mean when I talk to you about outsourcing. When I talk
exactly.
to you about building strategic alliances and outsourcing. And I'm very proud of the fact, Bruce, that I have fewer employees. I mean the total people who receive payroll as a result of my company is much more. The people who are not part of my employee list are more than the number of employees, because I don't have to hire all those people and have them under my roof. I can rent them, and they become resources for my organization. And the NGO thing you were talking about, strategic alliances, that's all part of that philosophy, folks. That's how you can be. That's one of the main ways you can be competitive and still be frugal. Ten Till, right back with Dr. Bruce Piasecki after these messages. Stay with us. I can't imagine any... We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. My pleasure to continue to be with you as always. Bruce Piasecki, Dr. Bruce Piasecki is with us. He's the author of The Surprising Solution. Bruce, is this just out in paperback?
Yes, and it's got a great review last week in the largest business journal of India. Talk about frugal settings. So it's still very much a climbing book, and hopefully you folks will enjoy it.
I'm not surprised. So, folks, I'm very happy to have my hard copy. But if you want to be frugal, buy the paperback, right, Bruce?
Correct. Or even super frugal, don't buy my book and read Ben Franklin's The Way to Wealth.
The Way to Wealth. Why would they do that? Tell us about
that. I'm just joking. But, you know, 300 years ago, the man got it right. He's
yeah.
the start of our American pragmatism.
So
and he talks about not just a penny saved, a penny earned. He has about 140 pithy
yeah.
reminders about how you can be both extremely competitive in human nature and frugal.
And he was an advisor. His advice served countries well, didn't it? He was an advisor to at least three countries.
And let me tell you the higher fact as to why I think CEOs of small firms and top executives in small firms are finding this theme useful about doing more with less is that they know from their kids that they live in a world that's much smaller, that there's 6 billion
mm-hmm.
customers out there. And as we all consume more than our grandfathers, we live in this higher age of the consumer. It's the higher fact. And once you recognize that there's real material constraints out there, you're going to get ahead more if you learn how to do it more efficiently.
Are consumers going to have to learn how to be more frugal?
I believe so. I mean, I think that my wife, for example, 5 years ago told me that she would prefer to receive one red rose for Mother's Day than 25 red roses.
Right.
And that's just, I mean, we have enough. Yet she felt that that was the way to elect being in the world. So we need to realize they should.
And see, this is a good lesson for small businesses, Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
The message is not the flower; it's the sentiment behind it.
I'm with you.
So if you don't need 25 flowers to deliver the sentiment, when one simple frugal red rose would deliver the sentiment, maybe even more. It would understate the asset and overstate the sentiment.
I'm with you. And that part of being powerful and articulate is learning how to convey that sentiment, you know,
right,
frugally, efficiently.
Let me throw another small business angle in here,
mm-hmm,
folks. I don't want you to have the best customer service in the world, because that means that you've messed up and you've got to fix things, and you're really good at fixing what you mess up. Just don't mess up to start with. Don't require your customers to bring things back so you can fix it beautifully and perfectly. Fix it to begin with. Have the quality process in the beginning. That's another way of being frugal. And the only thing about that, Bruce, sometimes you have to remind your customers, have you thought about the fact that you don't ever have to bring my stuff back? Sometimes you have to remind them about that.
Let me try another thought with you that's really a personal confession about writing this book on frugality now. I think for 30 years of starting my business, I was hurried, and although I was often purposeful, I was also distracted.
Mm-hmm.
So I would get in a jet and fly to L.A. from New York for one meeting. I think that part of what I'm learning to do is celebrating how many rich clients and how many rich colleagues I have. And so I now make it a habit, if I'm going to get in the air for 6 hours, I want to meet six different people.
Right.
And I actually do pre-planning to do that instead of just the one-person meeting,
right,
that I used to do. So everybody's different, but what I'm trying to talk about is being competitive, because it's so much human nature, but also being inventive.
Let me throw in something real quickly here, Bruce, as we wrap up the hour.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much efficiency available, high quality, competitive efficiency available today through technology, that way too many small business owners are still not taking advantage of that. The beauty is, small business owners can follow your frugal advice, but still gain power by leveraging some of the new technology that's out there.
I'm with you, and I think that your message about, that there are three maybe kinds of competitive advantage: technical advantage, personnel advantage,
yep,
and also just how you run your money,
right,
financial frugal control. I think what I'm learning in the act of writing this book is that frugality also applies to how you view your technology. It's how you view your people.
Right.
So it's a very comprehensive way once you start to think about it, and it's part of the surprise.
Hey, Bruce, thanks for being here. Give us the website, please, so we can find you and your book.
Yep, ahcgroup.com, or you could also look under Bruce Piasecki under the Jim Small Business Network pages.
Exactly. And the book's available wherever books are sold, now out in paperback.
That's right.
Thank you, Bruce,
for being here.
Good job today. See you next time. Bruce Piasecki, folks, check out that book. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.